Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born March 27th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and raised in Pittman, New Jersey, he is a host and narrator who you've seen on such Travel Channel series as Mysteries at the Museum and Beyond the Unknown. And now you can see him every Monday night on his new Travel Channel series, Buried Worlds, where he travels the planet exploring everything from vampires and voodoo to Nazi witches. Please welcome Don Wildman.
Man, how have you been?
I've been great. I love that robot-voiced bio introduction.
That's it. That's how we do it. That's how we're going to do it around here. Hard times, man. It's hard to get live people in the studio now.
Good morning.
Good morning, man. So you, what are we going to see tonight? I know it's the Roanoke Colony in Virginia.
It is a very cool story, which I didn't know enough about. You know, here I am, a grown man, and you hear about this. So for anyone who doesn't understand, one of the earliest moments of English settlement in the Americas was the colony of Roanoke. It was 1580, something like that, the late 1500s. And it was a small, minuscule group of people who came over, and they were populating an area down south, around North Carolina, Virginia. So the legend goes, and the story goes for real, that their leader, John White, had to leave after a couple of months and come back to England and get supplies. When he arrived back, which was some 3 years later because of this, that, and the other thing, he found the entire colony gone. Not a scrap of evidence except for a little bit of carved graffiti in a tree that said C-R-O, Crow. And that was a reference, he assumed, to the local chieftain who was down south.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe some Native Americans were like, hey, no, we didn't see him. The McPhersons left. We never saw him again.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of that kind of talk back then, I don't think. The fact is that they were assumed to have gone south and either massacred or lost. Yeah. We entertain the notion, excuse my voice, we entertain the notion that they went north, which is supported by some historical evidence. It's a theory, but it's one that holds water because most people would have gone north towards the Chesapeake, okay? And they landed, if they went that way, they would have landed, everyone landed, right on a point of land where Thomas Jefferson eventually built a very famous lighthouse that still stands, right in Matthews, Virginia, Matthews County, Virginia. So this is a Chesapeake Bay community there that is known as one of the most paranormal places in the world. People there talk about this from their youth, and even till today, that they've seen ghosts and all sorts of apparitions down in this particular area called Old House Woods. It's very mysterious. You drive down these roads, and it's like any kind of waterside world. It's reeds and swamps and marshes and all the rest of it. Very cool place. And when you get lost down one of these roads, you can sort of feel that there's an odd kind of vibe going on.
So I
met with the people in the town, and this is all on camera in the show, and these very upstanding residents explain that it's just a given that people in Old House Woods have seen things, heard things, feel things all the time. So, I'm talking about like one guy who was a lawyer, I think. He was telling me that he was duck hunting, which is what a lot of people do around there, and he saw a pirate ship sail right in front of him.
Yeah.
on dry land.
Yeah, and I'd say, son, you need to quit drinking while you're hunting.
There was plenty of that talk off camera, believe me.
Yeah, you're like, how much? You've been eating the mushrooms, haven't you, son?
Yes.
Look, I've seen a pirate ship on land, too, but I was high as balls in Amsterdam.
Anyway, it's a really interesting story, and just like you mentioned before, it has the underpinning of great history, you know, real history.
No.
And it's fascinating to talk about.
Let me ask you something. Because you're a historical adventurer, because I tend to get sideways if it gets too paranormal, because that's, to me, the easy way out. It's like somebody saying, oh, I guess it's just God's plan. You know, they go, oh, it was just a ghost, and that explains that part. And I'm like, no, I got to know more about this. You know, because when you go through, like we were talking about voodoo earlier, and it's kind of been my new hot thing. I know you go to Haiti. Now, true or not true, what makes that so interesting is they had a way to drug you, almost like early hypnotic roofies, and that they would turn you into basically a zombie with they had a way to make these drugs.
Where zombie starts. I mean, that truly is a thing. I mean, it's an acknowledged, and they use the pufferfish. It's the toxin that comes from the liver of a pufferfish, and it's an extreme toxin, and it really can kill you. Very powerful poison. And if used in a mixture, it can be, it sort of deadens you, paralyzes you. And so it was used, is still used, apparently, as a means of deceiving people and thinking people were dead, and so they were buried and end up with the legend of zombies because these people aren't really dead.
And see, and that's the real story. We turned folklore into voodoo, this mystical thing. But the truth was, there's a toxin that can make them appear dead. Their central nervous system collapses.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not the main story of voodoo. Voodoo is an amazing subject.
Of course.
Big sweeping religion and everything else, very cultural. But sure, it's a fascinating thing. Of course, that's all the network wanted us to do a show on was zombies.
Of course. Well, yeah, because it is super hard for you. By the way, if you just joined the show, Don Wildman, we met him before, hosted the series Buried Worlds, Mondays, 8 o'clock Kansas City time on the Travel Channel. But we love vampires and voodoo. And all of the stories, once you figure them out, they're equally as fascinating. Just because we take away maybe some of the boogeyman aspect, to me, it's still incredible, man. You talk about the Nazi caves in Poland. I've been to Krakow.
I think that's on next week. Himmler was a big Nazi witch guy. He loved the occult. He was very convinced that there was some sort of power to the supernatural that could be employed in their general dominance of the world. He had a very weird kind of fantasy that he was the reincarnation of Heinrich I, who was a great medieval king. And his name being Heinrich, of course, he was the reincarnation. So therefore, he was going to be the next guy to step in after Hitler and continue this Nazi takeover. And
right.
So he had an entire wing of the SS called the Witches Division, which is absolutely true. And this team went out mainly in the 30s. It was kind of like the Indiana Jones, the Ananurbe, you know, the group that went around and tried to find the old relics and Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail and so forth, and tried to sort of commandeer all this stuff for their own powers. The Witches Division did serious research. I mean, you go through the files in the National Archives of all these records of witches being burned at the stake and what they were burned for and what was their suspicion. And this was part and parcel of the whole effort to stain the Jewish community with the great sin of destroying good Christian Germans.
Right, right. But isn't it fascinating? Because how do you make a Nazi even more scary? Oh, yeah, put him into the occult. And just go, Jesus Christ, you crazy bastards.
What I find, you know, I was not a ghost guy. I've never been a paranormal guy, really. I'm more of history. So when they gave me this opportunity, I sort of said, this is interesting, because when I'm as persuaded by a horror film as anyone. I'm like, this is cool stuff. I wanted to understand the more, social and cultural side of it as much as understand what was going on. Lo and behold, I found myself in the woods, you know, talking to people about being possessed by demons and Enochian magic and these kind of really high-minded, strange things, alchemy and so forth, throughout history that all come to bear on this world. They're really smart people, by and large, these paranormal people who are really interested in a greater experience than just paranormal. But it's a very unique and idiosyncratic world that gets very specific for certain people in what they've experienced.
Dude, so as you're doing this, you're becoming this huge TV host. People love this TV show. You're going to meet girls, and you've got to experience the same thing that happens to me. You'll start to get into this conversation with, like, a girl on a personal level, and you see their eyes glaze over, and they're like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I've been married to a girl for about 20 years, and she's as glazed over as me.
I just know the feeling, because you're like, no, you don't understand. Like, it just, you start really getting down with the whole thing, and they're like, mm-hmm.
I literally can time my wife's attention span by about 15, 20 seconds every time I start talking about
it. See, Nikki, I told you.
It happens.
Yeah. But there's so many great stories out there, man, and great things to hunt for. And not just the you think about the Nazi caves. They think that there was caves where the gold is hidden or a Nazi train is still to be unearthed. Do you believe
that
in that?
That's really real. I mean, in the Nazi episode, we had this really incredible moment where we met with this team from Poland who had recently acquired an SS diary, a diary of an SS officer. And you figure how big a deal, silly to say, but World War II, how big a deal World War II was, you know, and how major this blitzkrieg of certainly Poland was. And, I mean, they took the place over. And so the records that were kept by the Germans were extensive. They were incredible bureaucrats. And so these things are all popping up all over the place because the whole generation is dying off and people are finally coming forth with things that were hidden. So this is a secret SS diary that told the story. Many stories, but one of which we followed, which was a guy, an SS officer, recording the hiding of gold on an estate in Poland, which we go to, and you can literally step out the steps to a well, and this was the location where the gold was put. And in the notations in the diary, he says that the gold was down there 60 feet below the earth, along with the bodies of the two messengers who brought them. And so it's said in a sort of dry, calculated way that sort of gives you the heaves because you're like, wow, they just shot those guys, you know, and they didn't know they were bringing the gold to die, and they're down there with them.
Well, yeah, that's the old saying, three can keep a secret if two are dead.
Yeah, it is a very common thing. Even Jean Lafitte, you know, down in New Orleans used to do that with his privateering. You know, he used to hide his treasure and then kill a young man, a young sailor, and leave that body so that the spirit would claim the treasure for its own, and that's the source of the orbs that float in the swamps of the bayou.
What about the astronomical clock? Didn't they kill the guy who built that in Prague in the Old Town?
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I don't know much about that, but
they poked his eyes out so he could never duplicate it.
Oh. Exactly. Yeah, it's odd, you know. History is full of stories, and you wonder how it really felt that way at the time.
Right.
You know, it sort of distills itself down to us in a much more dramatic form.
See, I by the way, I love the show, and I love having you on here because, well, you're the only one I have to talk to now in this whole world.
You don't glaze over. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, listen, I'm crazy for it. But let me jump subject again. When they found Fenn's treasure the other day, the one that for all this time has been somewhere out in the Rockies, I was kind of relieved and happy, but the fact that they've not told us where it was found is driving me crazy.
A lot of these things happen on state lands, you know, nowadays, and so it takes a lot longer. When I saw that headline, I thought they were talking about the Superstition Mountains, you know, down in Arizona, which is this really cool and very authentic legend, but for lack of a better word, where these guys put the gold out in the hills, and then it became a state park. So anybody going out there has to get a license, and of course the state's not going to give you a license to mine for gold. So this gold is in this cave, and people have died trying to find it, you know, from just environmental reasons, just running out of water and so forth. But people know it's out there, and it's really exciting and interesting to think that that's really history, you know, and that's a very exciting thing that's going to happen one of these days.
Well, being a treasure hunter, whether it be a Spanish galleon that sunk off the coast of Florida or some crazy old millionaire hides a box of gold worth $1 million or $2 million somewhere in the Rockies, like, it's the joy of the search of how do I discover this?
I heard what you're saying before. I agree with you. When I go traveling, you know, it's nice to go and have a good time and see shows and eat food and all the good recreation. But I need that underpinning. I need the greater story of the place. And that's what I hope people take from the shows, that there's always this depth of experience. If you just, you know, scratch the surface and find out more, it really gives you a fuller view of life, let alone of your travels.
Fact. Oh, no. Listen, take time. If you're going to go to Machu Picchu, hire a local guide and have him tell you what you're really looking at. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. good point. I agree with you completely. You work with a lot of those guys, and it changes your perception of the places entirely. You know, and you get relationships with people and so forth, and it's really much makes a much more vital experience.
I'll give my 2 weeks right here, right now. I'll walk out of this job. You tell me when I get to work with you, and I'll come out and work any day.
I'm jealous of your job. I think you guys have the best job in the world. I've always loved listening to morning radio and just, you know, it's just a fun thing to do.
It is. No, it's the greatest thing I could have ever been afforded. No doubt about it. You know what? It funded every one of my adventures around this planet.
Yeah. I mean, we have to do our things. We go off and tell these great stories and stuff like that. Great job. But it takes 6 months to get them on the air. You know, it's a long aftermath. And by the time I'm with you talking about something, this happened for me back in October and November, you know?
Now, see, unlike you, I can bore these guys to tears with stories from 15 years ago. And I do it. All right, listen, always good to have you on, Don. I hope everybody watches it. It would be tonight, 8 o'clock Kansas City time on the Travel Channel. It's called Buried Worlds. It's if you like adventure, you like finding out stuff, and hell, you might just learn something on the way. It's it's a pretty great show, man. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.